Have a seat. Cut. Take two. Have a seat. You may know that I have a background in theater and film. And cut. Take two. Something we hear all the time. It's always a rehearsal happening. Rehearsals are the most graceful thing that I can think to do with another group of people. In rehearsals, we try to get it right, get the scene just perfect, but we know we're going to make mistakes, and we know we're going to have to stop in the middle of it and then start over again. When we see those blooper reels on TV about a movie or a TV show, and the characters are walking along, and they trip, and cut, try it again. And then everybody has a good laugh about the whole thing, and sometimes they get themselves really giggling, and it kind of gets funnier and funnier. Well, the blooper reels are a little bit misleading, because the reality of movie and TV production is we don't have a whole lot of time to have a giggle fest happening. We need to move on to the next thing. So if you're doing your scene and suddenly you trip or somebody shows up in the back or you flub a line, it's a quick cut, take two, keep going. We don't have a lot of time. The directors are usually very serious about things. And we know that you're going to get it right. And we know that you're going to make a mistake. And we're not going to dwell on the mistake. We're not going to shame anybody. We're not going to make you feel bad because you forgot your line or somebody walked through the window in the background and weren't supposed to. We don't have time for that. We're working toward the goal of making a story, a movie, or a TV show, or stage play. There's a seriousness to it. It's a seriousness to understanding that sometimes we make mistakes, but the point is to work together to get that perfect scene just so. Sometimes in theater, we have a saying, life is not a dress rehearsal, which is cute, but it's a really high standard to live up to. I mean, the idea of life is not a dress rehearsal is a lot of pressure. The idea is you're going to get it right the first time, every time. And that's just not realistic. That's a lot of pressure. When you're a brand new priest in a new parish, it's a lot of pressure to get it right the first time. Fortunately, there's grace. I'm hoping it continues. We have this standard of the finished product of a movie or a TV show where that walk down the street is just as natural as it could be and there's no trip and nobody flubs a line and no one walks through the scene that isn't supposed to be there. We have this idea of the perfect moment, the perfect scene, the just right cut in the film. And we try to live up to that ideal. I mean, we should be living up to the ideal of being Jesus' disciples and doing the work of God's people in the world. We should be trying for that. But I think sometimes we shoot higher than we actually can. And we have stories in the Bible that we look at where we've got these Bible heroes and these incredible people that we all know, and they're a tough act to follow. David. Love him or hate him, you know the story. David is considered one of the heroes of the Hebrew texts. We know the epic story and the saga of his great victories in battle and that sort of thing. David's a hard act to follow. And then, of course, there's Jesus, who's divine. I mean, you try as you can, but you ain't gonna walk on water if it's not frozen. But we try. We see what Jesus can do. And we strive for that perfect scene. And then today we're also given Revelation, which is a fantastic story filled with magical creatures and terrible scenes, terrifying things. And we go, oh my gosh, what the crazy heck was that all about? And it's all about the end times, the apocalypse. It's kind of scary stuff in Revelation. And that's what we're using to conclude our church year. A story from David, a story from the end of Jesus' story, and a story from the end of the Bible, Revelation. We're really putting the emphasis on the end of things today, because today is the end of the church year. We're done. I hope you got all your scenes perfect, because we're done now. We portray today as the end, the culmination of the church year, the reign of Christ in the world. And all these lectionary pieces sort of support that, but there's a different truth I want to call your attention to. The truth is this. David's life, as I said, love him or hate him, his life and his reign unravel after the whole Bathsheba on the rooftop scene. He breaks up his own family, he breaks up his own nation, and he dies generally unwell. And what we read today are his dying words just before his life comes to its conclusion. But what he says in these dying words is transformative. He transcends himself in that moment, and he speaks like a prophet. He talks about this ultimate good shepherd who's coming. He foreshadows one who is, as it says in the text, one who rules over people justly, like the light of the morning, like the rising sun. David, his line is not really done. His particular chapter in the human-divine story may be coming to a close, but he's talking about something that transcends him. It's not over. He's talking about the messianic ruler, the good shepherd who's coming, and Christians believe that was Jesus. So it's the end, but it ain't over yet. And then there's Jesus, who stands before Pilate today, and we think, well, it's done now. And all the disciples were watching from wherever they were, and they were thinking, it's it, it's over. Jesus is brought before Pilate, and we know what's going to happen. We know what Pilate does to people that are brought before him for questioning, and we know it's not going to be good. But Jesus knows it ain't over. Because we know, we hear well after the fact, know what happens in Act 2 of the story of Jesus after the resurrection. So while the readers of this are thinking, well, it's over now, it's not. We get to try it again very soon. And then there's Revelation with these fantastic creatures and terrifying imagery of the apocalypse. But if you were listening carefully, John, the name of the guy that writes that, gives away the ending at the very beginning. If you look carefully, you'll see that he says, he talks about grace and peace in the midst of the rest of the story that we'll talk about great strife. Grace and peace from him who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the ruler of the kings of the earth. There is grace and peace coming. This whole end times thing, this whole apocalyptic stories and things falling apart and creatures, it may seem like the end, but we know it's not. And John knows it too. And just like David, he foreshadows the grace and peace that is to come. Here's the truth. We are at the end of the year. It's over. After today, we're done. But we know it ain't over yet. We get to start again, anew, tomorrow morning. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate the opportunity to try it again. Whatever may have happened to David in his life, whatever good or bad he did, whatever happened to Jesus' disciples as they followed him along in his story, good or bad, whatever they did, and whatever's going to happen at the end times that John sort of sees in this vision, good or bad, we're not there yet. There's a chance to start over. If you feel like at any point in the past year you fell short of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, if you feel like at any point in the past year, since last year this time, that you didn't live up to your own expectations for how you should be as a follower of Jesus, I have good news for you. it ain't over. You have another chance, starting pretty much now. We believe in the God of second chances. David had second chances. All of those disciples had second chances. Don't even get me started on Peter and his shenanigans. We get second chances. We've been here for about 2,000-ish years trying over and over again to get that scene just right, that graceful scene where we nail all our lines and we nail the blocking and everything is just perfect. We keep getting opportunity after opportunity to get to that point. And God, being the ultimate director of any production, God isn't here to judge us on that. God is not here to shame us when we forget a line or we trip. It's not important. Like the judges, like the directors in the theater and film and TV that I've worked with, they don't have time to sit here and make you feel bad because you forgot your line. No, we have to keep moving toward that perfect, graceful scene. So cut, take two, try it again. Just move on. Don't worry about laughing at yourself or anybody else. Don't get in a big giggle fest and forget what you're here to do. You've got a job to do. And you're not going to do it perfectly right off the bat every single time. So you're going to get another take. You're going to get another chance. And whatever happened in the past year, learn from it or build upon it and try it again, starting pretty much right now. We're about to be given another opportunity to be the people that God calls us to be, to live into the full stature of being a disciple of Jesus, whatever that looks like for the ministries that you do. We're about to have a chance to look back over the past year and find out, what did we do that we could have done better? What did we miss? What do we want to do again that was really worthwhile? Because we're not done yet. God is always helping us to become and to discover and to learn from our rehearsals a little bit more about our character, a little bit more about our motivations, a little bit more about what that beautiful divine scene looks like that is performed to perfection. We're not there yet. That's the good news. We have an opportunity to keep going. We have a God of second chances. We have a God who's not interested in judging us to make us feel bad, because that just makes the scene worse. God is here, and through Jesus Christ, helps build us up, overcome our shortcomings, overcome our flaws and our lesser parts of ourselves. Overcome those things. Your flaws don't define you. Your mistakes are not the end. You have another take coming up. So as we come to the conclusion of our church year, with whatever successes or failures we had, remember the words from Revelation. Grace and peace to you from him who was and is to come, because the best is yet to come. And so, as we conclude our year together, I would like to wish you all a very heartfelt cut, take two.